Today's shir is Masechta Nozah Daf Nun Beis, and we will begin Beis Hashem Yisbarach and Daf Nun Aleph on the Beis, three lines from the bottom. Begins the Gemara. Boy Rava. Rava asked the following question: Namala Shechasra. If an Namala is not complete, a Namala lost a leg, but it could still survive. Mahu. If somebody eats this Namala, will he be chayiv for eating a non-kosher sheretz? Because even though, as the Rosh points out, it doesn't have the shear. The shear is always a kazayas. But the halacha is that a beria, a fully living thing, even though it doesn't have the shear, is usur. And the Gemara's question here is, this namala that's missing a leg, so it's not, on one hand, it's not complete. But on the other hand, even though it's not complete, it still could survive with the missing leg. So is it still considered a barrier? And as the Rosh points out, the question that the Gemara is posing is relevant regarding the Isser to eat a namala. And the question is, what will be the halacha as far as eating this barrier? Is it considered eating a barrier? The same question will come up as far as Hilchus Tumah is concerned. Will this be considered that it gives off tumah? That again, even though we don't have a kazayas of this namala, but still, since it is a barrier, it gives off tumah. And the Gemara's question is: now that it's missing this leg, is it still considered a barrier, or is it not considered a barrier? And the Karen Ira points out that this discussion that we're going to have now, of course, is a very important halachic discussion, but the question is, how does this come into the sugyas that we're learning here in Masechta Nozer? So the Karen Ira says, it's very much connected to the discussion that we had in our previous year. In our previous year, we discussed Rekev, that Rekev gives off Tumah, but we learned that if the body of the Nifter that had Rekev was even as minimal as missing any part of the body, and then that body decomposed and created Rekev. So we learned in our previous shir that there wouldn't be a halacha of Rekev. Halacha, as we explained, the halacha of Rekev is a special halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, and the halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim was only stated when you have a whole body. Therefore, ask the Gemara here, just like there's a special halacha burial, which is an important halachic concept, the Gemara's question here is, what will be if it's missing even the smallest amount of that barrier? Will it be considered still a barrier or not? And the Gemara elaborates on what the question is. The Gemara's question is, Shurin Gemurin Loi, there's a halacha, as we just said, a barrier, but the halacha barrier is only applicable and we have the whole body, and here it's missing, albeit a very small amount, just the leg. Barrier gemirala, or there's a halacha is that something that give that a barrier that's a living creature gives tumah is also to be eaten for ikab, and even though it's missing a leg, it doesn't change that reality. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Medeskarta Toshma. The Braisa speaks about the pasuk of somebody who comes in contact with a sheretz. And the pasuk says, Kol ha-negei behem b'moysam yitman ha-erev behem. We would think, yocha b'kulam, you're not tumme sheretz, unless you touched the entire sheretz. Tamaloymer, the pasuk says, v'chol ha-shipal alhem mehem b'moysam yitman. From the word mehem we learned that even if you only just touch part of the sheretz, you will be tamei. Imehem, but if we only had the word mehem, we would learn yochem ktsasam, that even if you just touched part of the sheretz, you will be tamei. Tamaloymer, but on the other hand, there's a halacha behem. And since there's a halacha behem, you have to have the entire sheretz. So, of course, the question is, hakeitzad, how can we reconcile these two words? Says the Gemara, what the pasuk means, says the Braisa, at shehei b'ktsasin shu b'kulon, that even though you just touch part of the sheretz, you will be tamei, but on the condition that you have the entire sheretz here. And that's the way to understand these two psukim. Mehem means that you don't have to touch the entire sheretz. But behem teaches us that you have to have the entire sheretz. The shira chachamim, and the chachamim determined that what is the minimum size of a sheretz, bechadasha, the size of a lentil. Sheken achoimet, which is one of the shmoina shrotzim, one of the shrotzim that the Torah identifies. But tchilas briyosai, when it comes to life, it's bakadasha. And therefore, you have to have a kadasha of sheretz in order to give tumah. So says the Gemara, shmamina, says the Gemara, from here it seems that we have clearly, shmira gemirale, that the halachas of shiurim are halacha l'mayshim Sinai. And therefore, as we said, even though this sheretz, if it's missing a leg, it could still survive, but it's no longer a barrier. Because just like the chaimet, when it comes into creation, it's complete at the size of a kadasha. But even if you'll cut off its leg, it will no longer be a kadasha. The chum said that it has to have a shear of a kadasha. So we see that once its leg is missing, the fact that it could be alive, it doesn't make a difference. The halacha is that once it's not the whole barrier, it's not going to give off tumah. Amra Rav Shmaya says, the Rav Shmaya, we can't bring a raya from the chaimet to the ant that we are discussing in our shir. Ki bein shira, when is there halacha that you have to have the whole shir? Does loy have a kadasha? Because if you don't have the size of an adasha, the halacha is loy matama. Why? As we just explained, says the Gemara. The loy nafla b'neshama. The size of a chaimet as it is created is an adasha. Avol nafla b'neshama. Once the chaimet comes to life and had the size of adasha when it came into creation, that doesn't have anything to do with an amala. Because even though it doesn't have its leg, since it's already created, it continues to live. The chaimet, if it doesn't have a size of a kadasha, it can never survive. This namala can't survive without the leg. And since it could survive without the leg, to bailach, the question remains: what is going to be halacha regarding the namala that's missing a leg? So our Gemara has focused on the halacha of a barrier. The one is chayiv for eating a sheretz when it's a complete creature, it's an ant, even though it's not the right size, it's not a kazayas, because once something is a barrier, it's considered significant. The Gemara Masech Techulin, Daf Tzadik Vav Amun Aleph, also applies the halacha barrier to Gira Nasha. The Gemara says that if somebody eats the entire Gira Nasha of a small animal, even though that Gira Nasha is not the size of Kazayas, he'll still be chayiv feeding Gira Nasha because it's a barrier. Similarly, Rabbi Shimon in Masech Makis Daf Yud Gimel on the base teaches us, based again on this concept of barrier, that if somebody eats a whole wheat kernel, which is tevel, that they haven't taken off trumas and maestris, that he considers a wheat kernel as a barrier. The Chachamim disagree, and the Chachamim hold that a wheat kernel is not considered a barrier. And the Taisus tries to understand why is a Gira Nosha considered a barrier and a wheat kernel not considered a barrier. So Taisus explains that when the Torah speaks about the Isser of eating the Gira Nosha, the Torah says, Lo soichel gid, do not eat the Gira Nosha. So Torah is saying any size gid is also to be eaten. When the Torah speaks about the Isser of Tevel, the Torah doesn't speak about wheat kernels, the Torah speaks about Tevel. So there is no Pasuk telling us that a wheat kernel, the Pasuk is alluding that a Gira Nosha is considered a barrier. But there is no Pasuk alluding to the fact that a wheat kernel should be considered a barrier. The Gemara has taught us that a chaimet, which is missing a leg, does not transmit tumah. So maybe we should see, it's not, we see from here, missing a leg is not considered a barrier. But as we just learned, the Gemara says, the halacha of an amala cannot be learned necessarily from the halacha of a chaimet. And the Brisker Rav explains why these two concepts do not travel together. Says the Brisker Rav, if somebody eats a living creature, like an ant, he's subject to malchus because the ant is considered significant because it's a living organism. If somebody eats a gid, he's chayav malchus, not because it's significant, but because there's an issa to eat gid. The Gemara is saying that an ant is missing a leg is considered a barrier, not because it's significant, because once its leg is missing, the size is not there that you should be chayav. But at the end of the day, it's still a living spirit. And therefore, it's a living spirit. That's why it has a chshivas, and that's why maybe a chayiv. A chaymet, we're talking about, is dead. And once it's dead, it's only chashiv because of its significance. And the Gemara is saying that once it's no longer alive, it doesn't have that significance. This Gemara that we just discussed, of course, is a very, very important subject regarding the halachas of eating taloyim. We know that the Torah is very strict about eating something which is shrotzim, eating taloyim. And the question is, what is the halacha if it's not whole? So if it's not whole anymore, doesn't have the shear of a kazayis. On the other hand, if it's missing a leg, which the question comes up often, when if you had taloyim in the food that you cooked, most likely when it'll go through a cooking process, it will not come out complete anymore. It'll be missing a leg or something. Will the isser remain or not? The Mishnah Brura paskins in Ayre Chaim, the Mishnah Brura paskins that if it's in Siman Reish Yud, Sif Katan Ches, if an ant was cooked and it's no longer complete, it's not considered anymore a barrier, and the halacha is that the Isser will not, and it's not a Kazayas, the Isser will not apply. The Magen Avraham, however, disagrees, and the Magen Avraham says that it is still considered a barrier. And the Rishonim and Achronim point out that really it's the question that we just discussed in our Gemara. Is this ant that's missing a leg still considered a barrier or not? And as we just completed the sugya, the Gemara remained with a tabayiloch. The question was not answered, and therefore there are those that are makbid that even if something is missing a leg. It will maybe still considered a barrier. We learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah identified which tumas a nazir is considered tameh. And the Mishnah said, al shedra v'al gagoilus, if a nazir is exposed to the spine or the skull of a dead person, it's considered as if he becomes tameh. And all of the halachas of a nazir who becomes tameh will apply. He forfeits the days of naziris that he's already kept. He has to bring kabbonis after he becomes tohor, and then he starts counting again. Take a haircut and start counting again. So ask the Gemara, how do we understand the wording of our Mishnah? Ibailuhu. When the Mishnah said shedra v'gagoilus, doesn't mean that you have to have both, that the nazir came in contact both with the shedra and the gagoilus. Oy dilma was the way to understand the Mishnah, Oy shedra, oy gagoilus. You don't have to come in contact with both. Coming in contact with just one of them will make you tummy. Amar Rava, to which Rava says, Toshma, let's bring a raya from this braisa. The braisa says, shedra, shegira roiv ilon shabbat. As we know, there are the spine, and coming out from the spine, you have the spinal and the spinal cord, and coming out from the spine are the ribs. And what happened here was that most of the ribs that are connected to the spine were broken. Tor. That spine, even though, as we've been learning in our Mishnah and our Gemara, the spine of a dead person gives off tumas oil. If somebody is in the same home as that spine, he will be tameh. This will not be halacha on this type of a spine. Or bekever. But if the spine is buried in a grave, afilu mishaberes, even if most of the ribs are broken, or mefarekes, or the ribs are no longer connected to the spine, tameya. Then it will give off tumah, because there's halacha nea kever. The fact that this entire spine is laying together in the grave causes that it should give off tumah. So what do we see? Tam mishum degirid. The reason when we have a spine where most of the ribs are broken doesn't give off tumah is because the ribs, as we described, are broken. Halai girid. If the ribs were not broken, tamei. But we only have a spine. There's no discussion of a skull. So isn't this clearly an indication that spine gives off tumah? Even without the skull attached, says the Gemara, Halak Tani. That's not the way to understand the Braisa. The Braisa is not saying there was no skull here. The Braisa could very well be discussing a case where there is a skull. But what the Braisa is teaching us, Hakamashmon, the Braisa is teaching us, the Kigirid, that you'll have the spine and you'll have the skull. But the Braisa is teaching us that if the spine is broken, then it's not considered the regular type of shedra that gives off tumah. But the question that we began with, do you have to have the spine and skull, or do you not have to? A dayti balach is still a question that needs to be answered. Toshma. So the Gemara brings a raya from a braisa that discusses a machlokes of Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanan regarding tumah, or is there tumah when you combine two niftarim, two dead people. Rabbi Yudaimer, Shisha Dvarim, that were taught, there were six halachas taught regarding this subject, which Rabbi Kiva Matamer, Rabbi Kiva says there is tumah, the Chum Matarim and the Chum disagree and say there is no tumah. And then, says the Braisa, the Chazba Rabbi Kiva regretted what he said, and Maisa Shavi Kupa Malay Atzomas, they once brought a box full of bones, Lebesa Knesset Shal Tarsayim, the Tarsayim were the coppersmiths. And as the Gemara says often in Shas, that they used to have Beit HaKnesses, they used to have shuls of different professions. There's a shul the Gemara discusses in Masechet Avodah Zarah, are people who were weavers. Our Gemara speaks about a shul of people who were coppersmiths. There were shuls of people who were leather workers, and I once saw a beautiful pshat, because they were very concerned that people should not speak during davening. Typically, when you have a competitor, your relationship with your competitor is not always the best relationship. So one of the ways they avoided people speaking by davening is having a shul of people who didn't necessarily get along. If they didn't necessarily get along, they're not going to be speaking to each other. If they're not going to be speaking to each other, we could avoid the problem of talking by davening. So again, says the Gemara, Maisha Shaviyu Kippa Malei Atzomis, they once brought a box full of bones, L'Beis HaKnesses Shotar Saim, to this Beis HaKnesses, V'Nichua Ba'avir, they left it in an exposed area. They did not leave it in a place that had a roof over it, because if there would be a roof over there, it would be a tumas oil, which they were trying to avoid. And says the Gemara, v'nichnas atoidus haroifim v'kol haroifim, and Tudas, who was a doctor, and other doctors came to examine if these bones came from one nifter or from two niftarim. After they did their examination, they said, Enkan Shedra, Mimes Echad. We don't have a full spine from one dead person. And since we don't have a spine from one dead person, that's why even Rabbi Kiva will agree that this spine doesn't give off tumah. But what, says the Gemara, seems to be the point of this braisa? There was no one spine from one nifter. It seems, if there would be a spine or a skull from one dead individual, then that would be considered a source of tumah that the nazir megaleichala. So isn't this a raya shmamina that oy shedra oy gagolus tanan? You don't have to have both a spine and a skull. One alone is enough to give off tumah, and that's an answer to the question that we began with: do a spine and a skull give off tumah only when we have both, or even if we have one? Says the Gemara loy mebayikama. Again, the braisa is not a raya. Because the way to understand the braisa is loy mebaya shedra v'gagoyles tumemeches echaleka. Certainly, if you only have a shedra or gagoyles from one nifter, they wouldn't give off tuma. Ela filo oy shedra meches echad a gagoyles me echad. But even here, they didn't even have a full spine. Then, and that's why there was no tuma. But that you do or don't need both, there is no raya from our Gemara. Our Gemara discusses the doctors doing investigation. And the question, and the Paiskim want to make a very important point from our Gemara. Because what we see in our Gemara, they say, is that even though Tudus was a Raife, Tudus was a doctor, they did not rely on Tudus's examination himself. They needed to bring other doctors along with Tudus. And that's why Rav Yosef Shaul Natanzon, the Shoyl Meishev, says that whenever we need to rely on a doctor's experience and a doctor's examination, one doctor is not adequate. We have to have at least two doctors. The Shoyl Satshuvus Yogel Yaakov says that even two doctors are not enough, that we need to have a number of doctors. There are, however, differences of opinion. Some Paiskim, the same Shaul Meishev and the Beis Yitzchak, say that if the doctor is going to offer an opinion or offer his findings, and it's a milsa davida legluya, it's something that he will be caught if he's saying something which is inaccurate, then we could trust him more. Also, the Paiskim, the Chasam Sofer, the Crazy Placey, seem to differentiate what kind of halachic issue are we talking about. If it's a question of Shabbos or Yom Kippur, there we can't rely on one doctor alone. In other situations where it's not a chiyuv mises bezdin, the aveira that we're talking about, there we can rely on one doctor. The Masham says that it's hard to make a hard and fast rule. We have to look at every situation. We have to look at what is the halachic dimension of the question, and we have to look at who is the doctor, and if he's an expert doctor, and if he's a religious person, that questions of halacha are important. The other question that's brought up from this Gemara is, can we bring a nifter into a Beis HaKnesses or into a Beis HaMidrash? So the Chachmas Adam, quoting the Vilna Gaon, says that the halacha is that even though we have to give kavod ha-meis, a meis should not be brought into a shul. The Maram Shik, however, mentions that the Gemara teaches us that they brought Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Not only was Rabbeinu HaKadosh brought into the Beis HaKnesses, he was brought into 18 Beit HaKnesses. So therefore, the Maram Shik says that if the person who passed away was a great person, he's allowed to be brought into a shul. And same thing, the Divrei Malkiel Paskins, that only a person who was a great individual who taught Torah, he's an individual that may be brought into a shul, but for a levaya when he's no longer alive. But a regular person should not be brought into a Beis HaKnesses. And in fact, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says there's only a heter to bring great individuals into Beis HaKnesses, and he left in his own tzavah, he left in his own will, that he after he's passed away, after he passes away, should not be brought into the shul, not be brought into a Beis HaKnesses for Levaya. Our Gemara also here spoke about doctors. And Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, and the Gemara spoke here about, as we mentioned a moment ago, doctors. That sometimes, apparently, even in areas of halacha, in areas of medical situations, one should not just rely on the opinion of one doctor. One should have a staff of doctors. And the question that Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein discusses is that there's a hospital that has a staff of doctors, that one of the doctors, that and they want to add a doctor to their staff, and one of the doctor that they want to add to the staff has a bad experience with one of the existing staff members. But this person that they want to hire is a very prestigious, important doctor. So the question is, what should they do? Should they hire this doctor, even though he doesn't get along with the other doctor? Or should they avoid hiring him? So he quotes the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, that teaches us, Shnei Talmid Chachamim Hasnuim Zeh Zeh. If you have two Talmid Chachamim that don't get along, and Yoshvim B'din Echad, they shouldn't sit together as Dayonim in one Din Torah. And the Rambam, in Hilchas Sanhedrin, and the Shulchan Aruch and Chayshim Mishpat Simen Zayin Sivches, Paskins, that two people don't get along, should not sit in a dead Torah together. And he says that the Brikka Yosef takes this a step further. He says that even if you have two people who don't have any animosity between them, but the two people are of very different personalities, the halacha is they shouldn't be sitting together in the Din Torah. People, if we want to work together, we have to have that they should be able to get along. And therefore, people don't get along or don't have the same personality. He says we shouldn't appoint them to work together. And moreover, he says that we know that in order for a doctor to be successful, the halacha is the doctor has to have siyata d'shmaya. The rav has to have siyata d'shmaya. And when there's no shalom, when there's a lack of shalom between individuals, then there's a lack of siyata d'shmaya. And that lack of siyata d'shmaya is a very serious issue. And therefore, he says, we should avoid bringing that doctor who doesn't get along with some of the staff members into the staff. We spoke also about how much should we rely on doctors. And the halacha is that there's the question that I saw that, again, Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, the Cheshuki Chemed, discusses, is that there was a doctor who determined that a patient is supposed to eat a certain food which is not kosher. And the patient refuses to eat from that food unless the doctor or his child eats from that food. The question is, is part of the responsibility of the doctor in healing the patient is to eat, that not only is the patient, of course, allowed to eat it, but is the doctor, when it's a shiloh of pikuach nefesh, but is the halacha as the doctor? What about the doctor? Is that part of the doctor's responsibility? And he says that he can't allow the doctor to eat this food that's not kosher without any deviation, because the doctor is, Baruch Hashem, not sick. And if the doctor is not sick, he doesn't have a right to eat non-kosher food. But he says what the doctor should do and is allowed to do is eat the food shloi keder kachila. He should put something bitter tasting into that food, which the patient would not necessarily know that the doctor did it, or make that it should not be as issa deraisa and then be able to eat it. So even though the doctor's responsibility to heal a patient are great, it's only what's actually a medical treatment. What's not an actual medical treatment is not included, but as much as it's not included, if it's a derabbanon, That is part of the obligation of a doctor, or truthfully, the obligation of anyone to help heal someone else. So again, our Gemara is still in the middle of a question. The Gemara posed the question, what is the halacha regarding a shedra and gegoilist that we learned in our Mishnah gives off tumma? The question is, what will be the halacha? Is that only when you have both a shedra gegoilist, or is one alone enough to give off tumma? Toshma. So the Braisa goes back, the Gemara quotes a Braisa that goes back to the subject that we just discussed, the machloikus of Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanon, when you have a combination of tumma that come from two mesim, when is there a combination and when is there not? Rabbi Yehuda Mashish Dvarim, the Rabbi Yehuda said there's six times where we rely on combination that there's tumma. Rabbi Kiva Matama, Rabbi Kiva says that's going to be tumas oil. V'chamim b'tarim, but the Chum disagree. And says the Braisa, v'chazba Rabbi Kiva, and I'm sorry, we learned this Gemara. Toshma. So the Gemara brings a raya from the minyan, from the Braisa that identifies the subjects in which Rabbi Kiva and the Chumim were arguing. Umayin shishat varim, says the Braisa. So Rabbi Kiva matam v'chum matarim. What are the subjects where they disagree? Al aver min ames. If you have a full aver of a mace, shaba, because you have two half averim that combine mishnei mesim. You have a half of arm of one person and a half that's not alive and a half arm of another person is alive. And the question is, do they combine? Or al aver min achai, or aver min achai we learned gives off tumma. Again, that you have this whole aver, shaba mishnei b'nei adam, because you have a combination of two people. Or a chatzi kav atzomis, when you have a half a kav of atzomis, shaba, that the bones come mishnei mesim from the combination of the bones of more than one dead person. Or l'rvias dam, we know that the l'rvias adam that comes from one mace, the halacha is, certainly gives off tumma. And if a nazir were exposed, for example, with the revius dam of a nifter, he would be considered a nifter, a nazir that became tamei. But here we have a revius because it came from two dead people. Well, etzim kasira, or a bone the size of a saira from one person, shenachlak l'shnayim, that it was divided into two. And the question is that going to be considered that etzim is a whole etzim, but it was broken into two? And the question is, will that give off tumma? Or v'shedra ha'gagoylis, that you have the spine or the skull that come from two different people, do they combine? Says the Gemara, if when we speak about shedra and gagoylis, says the Gemara, it's shedra or gagoylis, it's a spine or a skull, each one itself gives off tumma. So then the Braisa says there are six. But Shedra and Gagoilus, if we say are considered separate tumas, will now make it seven. Hashani Shevehaven. So isn't this a raya that the tumah of Shedra and Gagoilus is only a tumah when they come together? Says the Gemara, it's not necessarily compelling proof. What the Gemara means to say is that Kik Tani Kolech de Polagalei Durabim. The Gemara is only, the Brice is only mentioning cases that the Rabbim, the majority of opinions, disagree with Rabbi Kiva. Lefuki etzem kesaira. But when we speak about the question of etzem kesaira that was divided into two, does it give off tumma or not? That there, it's a subject, the yachru de polygalei. It was only one individual. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, as we're going to see, disagrees. Therefore, it doesn't belong in the Braisa. So in other words, that is removed from the Braisa, the case of Etzem Kusayra. So Shedra and Gagoilus could be considered two separate tumas, and it still only be six. The Tanya, as we did learn in the Braisa, Shetzem Kusayra, if you have Etzem Kusayra, there was Nechel Klishnaim, there was divided into two. Rabbi Kiva says, since you still have over here the whole Etzem, it's Metama. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says it's tar. But since it's a case that only one individual is arguing, Rabbi Kiva doesn't belong to this Braisa, and we could therefore suggest that Shedra and Kegoilus are two separate tumas and still have the number six. Another way of reconciling that this brisa will not be an answer to our question, is it Shedra and Gagoilus, or is it Shedra or Gagoilus? Indeed, Eva Menemes, that comes from a combination of two Neftarim, were mentioned, is learned, is part of the brisa. However, Menachai, the Eva Menachai, is not mentioned. Because even though Eva Menachai gives off Tumah, but the subject of this brisa is what comes from a dead person. Eva Menachai doesn't come from a dead person. Since an Eva Menachai doesn't come from a dead person, it doesn't belong in the subject matter of this brisa. A third reason why this brisa is not a raya to our discussion about Shedra and Gagoilus. We only speak about Tumas, that the Nazir, if he entered the oil of these substances, would become have Tumas oil. Lefuke etzem kusayra deloy. The halach is an etzem kusayra doesn't give off Tumas oil, and since an etzem kusayra only gives Tumas mago masa, if you touch that etzem kusayra or you carry the etzem kusayra, it doesn't belong in this brisa, and therefore Shedra and Gagoilus can be separated into two cases. Vibay Seima, says the Gemara, another way of explaining this brisa is kiktani, the only subject matters that were taught in this brisa, kalecha the hadabe, early subjects that Rabbi Kiva ultimately retracted his strict position. Rafuki Rav Yistam, when we speak about the subject of Rav Yistam, the loy hadabe, that isn't the subject that Rabbi Kiva retracted his position. Domele Rebbe Labakapara, loy tishna Rav Yistam b'chazara. The halacha that the Rav Yistam that comes from two mason are not included in the list of subjects that Rabbi Kiva retracted. Shalom Muder Shabbat Kiva b'yodai. Rabbi Kiva continued teaching his Talmidim that the dam of two Niftarim do combine to be considered a Rav Yistam that gives off Tumah. And, says the Gemara, there's a pasuk that supports that the blood of two different neftarim can combine, because the pasuk says "Vakol nafshes meis layavoy." So the pasuk uses nafshes a lashon rabim to teach us that we can combine the dam of two neftarim to be considered a revius dam that gives off tama. Says the Gemara of Shimon Omer, at soif ad yomav hayomatama. Rav Kiva during his entire lifetime did not regret. But Rav Shimon says, I don't know what his opinion is now that he's in the Olam HaEmes. Any idea. But says the Gemara, Tana, Hushka Shinov, Rav Shimon realized that the statement that he made is something that it was an inappropriate statement to speak about Rav Kiva in that way, that after he left the world, maybe he changed his mind. And because of that, for the rest of his life, Rav Natan Yosef, he fasted. And the Svarim say, from here we see how sensitive these Tanoim were, that he made a comment which was somewhat not with the proper Derech Eretz, and he fasted for the rest of his life. And from here we see that how careful a person has to be, of course, in the way he talks and reacts to other people, certainly the way he talks and reacts to Talmidei Chachamim. And the halacha is not only when they're alive, but even when they're not alive. The Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, Siman Tufresh Vav, Sif Aleph and Beis Hilchos Yom Kippurim, says, Averis Shemen Adam L'Chaveroi, Averis that are related between people's relations. Ein Yom Kippurim Mechaper, Yom Kippurim can't help, Achi Yafayis as Chaver until you ask Mechila. And says the Shulchan Aruch, the Mesa Shechotoloi, if the person to whom you acted inappropriate is no longer alive, what you should do is, Mevi Asara B'nei Adam, bring 10 people, Umamidam Al Kivroi, and bring them and go to the cemetery of Omar, Chatosi Lakei Yisrael, Uleploni Zeh Chatosi, and to ask Mechila. There is a machloikis achroinim What does the Shulchan Aruch here mean? Does it mean in a case where you did something against somebody else, you harmed or offended someone else, and you never had the opportunity while the person was alive to ask mechila, and now he's no longer alive? Or does this halacha apply in even a case where a person that you did something to hurt, you did it even after the person was alive? And most paiskim, the Shulchan Aruch Rav, the Chai Adam, the Brewer, the Kavachayim, all take a stricter approach that even if the person that you offended was, when you offended him, was no longer alive, when you have to go and ask Mechila. Particularly when it was a great Talmud Chacham. And as we're learning, and this is a very serious, delicate point, all of Shas and all of Halacha is based on challenging someone else's opinion, on asking questions. But as much as one is allowed to do so, and that's what the halacha says, the halacha is that it has to be said in the most respectful manner. And the Chidah says that there was the Rebbe Rav Heschel asked something about the Mashah, and he spoke to Mashah about in a disrespectful manner, and he did tshuva his entire life for having that. Furthermore, we see from our Gemara, point out the Paiskim, the Shlah points it out, that Rav Shimon made one statement, which the Gemara is saying is inappropriate, about Rabbi Akiva, and for that one statement he fasted his whole life. How even one Avera is so serious and should be taken into such consideration that we have to do tshuva. The Gemara says that he should fast. That was the way. But the Rizal already says that if by fasting you won't be able to learn, when a person is fasting that he can't learn, he can't concentrate, such an individual should not fast, particularly if his fasting could cause that he should become unhealthy. And the Paiskim say, if somebody did an Avera that he feels, as we're learning in our sugyas, that the appropriate thing for him to do is to fast, but he can't fast because of his health situation or his inability to daven and learn properly, what should he do? So there's something that's known as the Tainus HaRavid. The Tainus HaRavid is that if you're given a portion of a delicious food, which of course you would like, you were enjoying that food and you would like to finish the entire serving that you received, and in the middle of the serving that you're eating, you stop and you don't finish the entire portion that you would so very much want to, that is also considered a tainus, and maybe that's what should be done if a person can't really fast. So again, the Gemara is still focused on the question that we've been discussing. When we say a Shedra and Gagoilus give Tumah, is it when they're together or even when they're separate? Toshma de Tanya. The Braisa, we just mentioned, Aloch is that a Roiva Kava Tzomis of a mace gives off Tumas oil. B'shamay Imrim, says the Braisa, B'shamay says, Roiva Tzomis Menatzomim. Even from just some of the bones of a nifter, or from two or different people, or even if they just have two or three bones, the halach is that if you have a roiva kav of bones, they give off tumah. But the opinion of Beisila is roiva menagvia, it has to be primary bones, and it has to be roi binyan a minyan. That according to Beis Hillel, when does a roiva kav at tzomus give off tumas oil? That's only if you took bones that are the main bones in the person's body, and that is if it's the roiv binyan, that the shank bones and the thang and the thigh bone, which are constitute the a person's stature or his standing, his ability to stand, or you took out. There are 248 Avram in a person, and you took out from 125 from the majority. Says the Gemara, Amar Bishua, I could reconcile, he says, that there is no machloikus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. She Beis Shammai Oimrim, when Beis Shammai said Mishnayim Mishloisha, meant Shnei Shnokayim, two shin bones, the Yerik Echad, and one thigh bone, or Shnei Yerchayim, two thigh bones, the Sheik Echad, and one shin bone. Hoyle, Roy Ben Yonishal Odom Megoiva. That is really what constitutes the height of a person. Not talking about the shin bones and the thigh bones. We're talking about the other bones. However, Yeshman Fakir Ridaim Reglaim, that's talking about the joints of the hands and the feet. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, there is no machlok between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. According to both of them, they need to have primary important bones to make Tumas Roy Vakav. Beis Shammai gives an example of Roy Binyan, and Beis Hillel of the standing of the person as he's standing, and Beis Hillel gave an example about Roy Binyan. But now, the Gemara quotes a third opinion. Shammai Oimer Afilo Etzem, if you have a bone, Minashedra Minagogoylus, from the spine or from the skull, that bone is considered significant and gives off tuma. So from here, the Gemara wants to say that a bone from the Shedra or Gagailus gives off Tumas oil, even though the previous opinions held that one bone doesn't give off Tumah. So we see from here that the Shedra alone or the Gagailus alone gives off Tumah. So yes, we will not be satisfied with, we will not agree that one bone alone gives Tumah, because one bone alone is not enough. But it seems that the Shedra alone, if you have the whole Shedra, or most of the Shedra, or the Gagailus alone, or you have most of all of the Gagailus, will give off Tumah. Isn't that a raya that Shedra and Gagailus give off Tumah separately? It says, tomorrow it's no raya. You can't bring a raya from that. Shammai was a machmer, and we can't bring a raya from the machmer. So ask the Gemara if that's the case. So on the contrary, Lishmina, only Tamid Beis Shammai Machmer. Beis Shammai was a machmer, and that's why he says that the Shedra alone, the Gagayos alone, gives off Tumah. Harabona Adikah Shedra Gagayos. Rabbanah holds you need both. Says the Gemara, Loi. That's not the way to understand. At kan lo pligal Rabbanah lay the Shammai. One bone from the Shedra Gagailus, the Rabbanan hold is not enough to give off Tumah. But it could very well be, if you have the Shedra, the whole Shedra, or you'll have the whole Gagailus, will give off Tumah. And therefore, we have no compelling proof to this question. And the Gemara does, this is the end of the Sugya, and the Gemara doesn't have an answer to this question. And the Rambam paskins that a Shedra and Gagailus are matama, each one in the individual. And the Kesef of Mishnah, in explaining the opinion of the Rambam, is why did the Rambam paskin that way? He says, because we clearly see that Beis Shammai's opinion is that the Shedra and Gagailus give off Tuma by themselves. The question that the Gemara posed and didn't have an answer to is what will be the opinion of those that disagree with Shammai. We don't know what their opinion will be. Since we don't know what their opinion will be, we have to be machmer when we know Shammai certainly holds the gives of Tumah. The other opinions we don't know. In such a situation, says the Kesef Mishnah, explaining the opinion of the Rambam, we have to be machmer, and a Shedra by itself or a Gagailus by itself will give off Tumas oil.